Okay, next order of business is a report with regards to the Inter Island Healthcare Foundation. Update, Commissioner Smith.
That's me. Pam reported that the PhD here joined the Long-Term Care Network, and that long fancy name that I can never remember the acronym for, but it's basically the Long-Term Care Network, as the first step in the process of supporting skilled nursing services in our county following the closure of Life Care Center. And a nonprofit group, the Inter Island Healthcare Foundation, that was founded in 1992, so it's been around a while, to support healthcare needs in San Juan County, has recently begun meeting to discuss the aspects of exploring how to support new skilled nursing services in San Juan County. The foundation members have gotten together. They believe that the appointment of a steering committee, just like they had with the Peace Island Medical Center when they started that, to investigate the cost of a feasibility study to explore the options is an important next step in the project, in the whole process. And during the last meeting, the board approved Evan Perales as a new member. His expertise in elder care management and his willingness to lead fundraising projects, which most of us don't like to do, to support skilled nursing services in the county make him an ideal board member. And the foundation is going to continue to meet and work closely with the various entities towards supporting long-term care in our county. That would be the report. Any questions?
Thank you, Rebecca. Any questions of Rebecca?
Nope.
And the next item is a review of EMS training certification. Again, Rebecca Smith.
So the last meeting, which was August 30th, the Department of Health representative clarified two issues. One is that Dr. Sullivan would provide his license for use in EMS's ordering of controlled substances when necessary. And two, they stated that agency personnel are current with the OTEP training. They have exceeded minimum state requirements, and they recommended revising the agency's OTEP plan to provide more flexibility in physician-led education, which they stated, although not required, is useful. And the people involved in this all agreed, and future meetings are going to be scheduled as necessary.
Thank you, Rebecca. Any questions of Rebecca?
I have a comment. I was on that committee, and I think the public needs to know that as taking all the meetings together, that Dr. Stone and Weishan Coons, paramedic Coons, in the spring and summer of 2016, in the winter of 2016, they put together an OTEP plan that went to the state. It was signed, it was okayed by Dr. Sullivan after it came from paramedic Coons and Dr. Stone. When Dr. Stone was unable to fill his integral part because he wasn't coming for shifts here anymore of the face-to-face, the OTEP plan started to fall apart, and this discrepancy was not noted, even though it happened in 2016, was not noted until May of fell apart in 2017 when Dr. Stone left, but we weren't, as a board, weren't informed of it for 18 months. And it was Dr. Sullivan that reported to DOH, not us. The ultimate outcome of the program was the 229-17 OTEP plan was not appropriately followed. There was a discussion about whether we had to go on CME, but then there was also a discussion that a variance could be made, which even after 30 years of practicing law, I couldn't find the RCW that did that, but Katie Holstein showed it to me. It's not where you would expect it in the law. There was a discussion of allowing a variance, and then the Assistant Attorney General got in and decided that the training was actually a property right of the paramedics. So they deviated from the OTEP plan and said that paramedics, what they had trained at, would be acceptable. But that was the decision by the Department of Health. So I think the community just needs to know that there was a lot of work that went into this. There was a lot of confusion, and at the end, if you read the law, you wouldn't know that this was a property right, and that the Attorney General could change how we coordinate education here at our level and do stuff like that. Secondly, and this, I've been sitting up at night worrying about this, Jerry. When we started this program, the very first meeting, within the first 5 minutes, and this is on tape, it was recorded at that time, and I reviewed it in the last couple days to make sure I'm right. All the paramedics, including you, were asked to provide their credentials. You were asked specifically by Dr. Sullivan what you were going to do, and you said, quote, "I have that covered." When it came time for credentials, the four paramedics, excluding you, had all their credentials in on time. You did not put yours in, and that's noted in the notes and on the tape. You were asked again by me at the next meeting what you were going to do, whether you had already certified, but you're continuing ongoing intubations and IVs we were asked about. I didn't get a response that time. Katie Holstein, at the, I think, the 8-6 meeting at take 50 minutes, I asked you to provide those. You said you wouldn't provide them to Dr. Sullivan. The compromise was to provide them to her. The last communication I have from her is that she doesn't have them yet. I asked you at the last meeting that we had where they were, and you said, the last meeting of this group of meetings, that you were waiting for your attorney's reply. And when I met with you last week and asked you the same question again, your response was, well, when I resigned last December, I packed everything up and took it home, meaning the documentation that you have done, the ongoing intubations and IV trainings, and I also think I asked for the ICS 300, 400, 500, which are in the contract, and I haven't seen those yet. My concern is the state has one issue with it, and you're working with the state. Our insurer will have another issue if, in fact, we don't have documentation of those if there's an untoward outcome. So I make the motion that you supply us with the documentation of your intubations and your IV starts and the documentation of your ICS completions to this board, which we can review to make sure that we are staying in compliance with our insurance and the people of this community to make sure that we're all compliant. It bothers me that I have to ask this question 6 times of you and I get different answers each time. So I make the motion, one, that Jerry, that Chief Martin supply to the board primary documentation of his continuing requirements under, where is that chart? Oh, gotta find it right now. Under the state laws of intubations for 2016, 2017, and 2018 of the ongoing requirements. If you don't have any by 2018, you have till the end of the year. But I need to see 2017 and 2016. Because if those aren't there, in every other program I've ever worked in, you shouldn't be taking paramedic calls. So that's my motion.
Discussion?
Yes, discussion. The Department of Health and the Attorney General very specifically said that he could turn the information into them and that they would be sending out a written request and be sending out a written information about the things that they talked to us at the meeting. I believe that Chief Martin is waiting for that written request so that he knows exactly what they want and this is approved by the Department of Health, and this is one of the reasons we went through this whole committee, so that we could give the AG's advice on it. That was what they suggested, not only suggested, that's what they requested, and that's what we agreed that we would do.
And that's as far as the Department of Health goes. I'm talking as a commission, our responsibility to those people out there, that if it exists, it exists. It's been there since 2017. It's in a file someplace. And there's no reason that we can't see that. And there's no reason, and if in fact I have suspicions of that and it's not met, I think we put our liability insurance at risk. Every liability insurance, and I came here and read the insurance programs, we put our liability insurance at risk, putting the people of the district at risk of having to pick up if our insurer doesn't pick up. This is important stuff. This is big money stuff if we don't have this knowledge. The state, as far as your credentials go, that's the state. I'm talking about here, us, the taxpayers, and other people that you're on runs with. We need to know that. And I would be the first person to say thank you in getting those, so I can stop worrying about it. To be quite frank, I've been a supervising physician, I've been on panels when this has fallen apart. There's an easy solution. If they're not there, it's just retraining. But if they're not there and something goes awry, the district and the district finances are in a big battle with our insurers, and if we have an inkling of that, we have to bring it up. That's the way insurance works.
So I have a question.
Wait a minute. I've been involved in malpractice cases on every side. Plaintiff's attorney, defense attorney, defendant, plaintiff, and expert witness. And I have to tell you, if we're at great risk if we don't have that documented and comply with it.
Are you done?
We're done for the moment.
So a couple questions. One, initially, of Chief Martin was... the recapitulation rendered by Rebecca accurate in your mind in terms of you indeed are waiting for confirmation of the requirements from the Department of Health. Is that true or not?
That is true, and I pass that on to Dr. Appleton as well.
Right. But I'm not asking on the Department of Health. I'm asking as a commission our responsibility to our liability insurer and the people of the community. To reassure them, because I've had questions about it.
Chief, you believe you're current on your state required training?
Yes, I. my certification. I'm on my certification is a 3-year certification. November would be my end of the year one for my certification. Your intubations that you're asking for 2016 has already been checked by Dr. Sullivan.
2017.
I don't believe he's seen those. And when I left, it was the last week I was here. All that stuff was packed away, and it is in storage. The documentation for that, and also my ALS. ACLS and PALS certifications as well has been packed away. So I did spend time looking at them. I don't know where in the storage it is, and I have not been able to locate it. My intubations have been hospital intubations. All of them have been done at Peace Health Hospital in Bellingham.
So, go ahead.
So that is where those have taken place. The ICS classes have also been done, and they have also been documented here. I believe they should be here at the station. If not, you can find those online as well. They have all been done before. The ICS classes, 100, 200, 300, 700 and 900 were done prior to me getting hired here, and 400 was done probably a month or two after I came to work here. So those have all been completed.
So are the intubations from Bellingham, are they on your EMS.com?
No, they're not.
So they're on pieces of paper in storage someplace?
Yes.
So if we went to court tomorrow on something, you'd be able to produce those or not?
Yes. I'd hope so, yes.
I would hope so too, but I would like us to see those and verify. You know, Ronald Reagan had a great saying, I believe you, I have to verify it. That's Ronald Reagan, exact quote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to verify that. I think our insurance needs that verification, and you know they're in storage. And just like Kyle and every other paramedic and every other physician that does this, we have a little file for it. It should be in that file, and that file should not be hard to find.
And again, I took that away because I had less than a week left when we decided to keep me on board, and that was that my desk was cleaned out when I left.
Okay. But you're going home this weekend. You should be able to find it by next week and bring it back.
If I was going to be home this weekend, yes.
I guess, too, I would ask the question of, it's not up to the commissioners or the board to look at those records. It's up to the MPD, and the way that the MPD agreed with the Department of Health and the AG was that rather than have it go that route, it would go directly to the Department of Health. Then it would come to us. It is not up to us to review. We don't even have the experience to look at records and know what we're looking at, or know what is approved and what isn't. You have more experience than I do in the doctoring part of it, but it's not up to the commission to do that. That's not part of our job.
But
our
we have job, a responsibility.
Pardon me?
We have responsibility.
Yes, but it needs to go through the correct channels, which is not us. It doesn't come directly to us. It goes to the MPD or Department of Health and then comes back to us if there's an issue. If there's an issue, that would be something else.
Well,
but right
I think
now, we don't know.
There is an issue because we're having a problem with verifying.
And that's what the Department of Health, the representative, said she would be sending a letter specifically requesting exactly what's needed to Jerry. And that's not just for the Department of Health, that's for the MPD, because they're funneling it through them. So it would be what the MPD would request.
Yeah, the Department of Health has nothing to do with our malpractice insurance. Our malpractice insurance requires that the people be certified. I've read it. You can read it. It's a disc over there. There's a pile that deep. And I have a motion on the board, and it's been accepted. And I want to see the way the rest of you feel about it.
I seconded, not accepted.
I said seconded.
Okay. Well, I would say I don't think it's our responsibility to get to that level of involvement. I think it needs to go through the proper channels first and then come to us. We didn't review the paramedics' information. We're not reviewing the EMT's information, and that all has to do with the same liability insurance. That all comes around through the correct channels back to us saying whether it's something we need to be worried about or not.
Well, actually, all the paramedics supplied all that information, except for Jerry.
I say we didn't see it.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It needs to come through the right channels. And if those channels say yes, they did what they need to do, then fine. If they say no, then it comes back to us again.
So this has been now 4 months that we've been asking this question. This is into the fifth month of asking this question. And we still don't have an answer. Runs are still going on. And if they come back in a month and say, we don't have the documentation, and we don't have the documentation, we put ourselves at great liability risk, we put our taxpayers at liability risk. If our insurance company says, you have that responsibility. I'm not arguing about Department of Health and all that. That's not the issue, as far as I see it. As far as I see it is, I have a responsibility. My next door neighbor, the guy that lives down on the boat,
I think we all do, Warren. It's
okay.
Not just you. However, I'm saying it needs to come through a different channel.
And
you're saying
and I'm
that's
saying it needs to come through both channels.
I'm
and we'll so vote on that and see how the commission feels about that.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry I walked on you, Rebecca, before, but there's a delay. It's actually getting worse. So I agree with Rebecca. One, there's a process in place. Number two, ultimately the decision is made for or against Chief Martin being certified as a paramedic from the DOH and the MPD. So let's have the higher authority say yes or no. If they say no, then we have to act on it as a PhD Board of Commissioners. So I'm going to vote against your motion, Warren. Any other comments?
I do. I would suggest that if that we, as our committee, since our committee was tasked to this, that I can call the Department of Health as the chair of that committee and ask to expedite the letter that she the request. See if we can get it expedited.
That's reasonable. Let's wait till we have that information in hand. The state is relevant. And I can't imagine an insurance company issuing a liability policy that would be demanding a standard higher than that imposed by the state.
I've lived with them for 40 years, those insurance policies, and I can certainly see that. But that's a vote of the board. You know what my position is, and I hope that all those proofs come through. If they don't, it's up to you guys.
Any other comments? Call for a vote. All those in favor of Warren's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Three against, two affirm, motion fails. Thank you, Warren. The next order of business is, again, under your wing, Commissioner Appleton, and that's the update on the needle disposal program.
So in research, we've got needles, the county has a program, there's different needles that you can use, and I finally found the person in charge of beaches, it's in my phone here, Jana Marks. This all started because of needles on a beach, and someone didn't know how to get rid of them. As it turns out, it was the ultrasonographer at the hospital that found the needles and wanted to take them to the hospital. But they can't take them from outside the hospital because of their insurance and labor and industries, et cetera, et cetera. And there is a group that actually cleans up the beaches, and I just found this name last night in another email. And so I'm going to get a hold of her. But the program, you know, our dump will take them if they're in a 2-liter bottle. We just need to get some information out to everyone and talk to the beach cleaning people. But other than that, I don't think we need to go much further on a needle program. It's pretty well controlled, other than Roach Harbor, private people, that their needle recovery box is a labor and industry's disaster waiting to happen because it's not locked and doesn't work correctly. At least the one in the men's room. I haven't gone in the women's room to see if theirs works. Yeah. So that's the report, and once I get, I'll give you the final at the next meeting after I talk to Jana Marks, and then we'll get a hold of her today. I've been too busy doing other things.
Very good. Thank you, Warren. Next on the agenda is an update on the latest CCC meeting from Commissioner Lindstrom.
Yes, we just specific topics of conversation were developing an implementation plan for the North Sound ACH. There still seems to be a lot of things to hammer out. The health department reported that they're working really hard to track immunizations and working with the schools. There's been chickenpox outbreaks on Orcas and managing that. The group agreed to support the housing initiative, Prop 1, on the ballot, the REIT. That's tied into affordable living for healthcare for workers, people like regular people. And I think that's about it.
Thank you, Annalisa. Next on the agenda is Resolution 18-492, revisited, frankly. This is consideration of the revised 2018 budget for Salmon Island EMS. The first time around at the last regular meeting, Annalisa, you had some questions, unanswered questions do you want to get us up to speed on your take on things?
Well, it was not necessarily that, other than I just didn't have time to review it because I had just received it that morning. So I was just requesting more time to look at the numbers. And in meeting with the chief and Chris, it's been really nice that we agreed and you made the effort to get us the numbers for this past month, the weekend prior to this meeting. And that's really helpful to be able to have time to look at everything. So I really appreciate that. I've had time.
Very good. Sorry, I misspoke there. That was what happens when you get older in recollection. So, is there a motion to accept resolution 18-492?
I'll so move.
Second.
Okay, discussion? Okay. In the absence of discussion, call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
And Dr. Sweeney, did you say yes?
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Motion passes, or resolution rather, passes unanimously. And